From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois' state government and politics.
The governor has presented his budget to lawmakers, but there is growing concern about the economy, from tariffs to withholding of federal money that was earmarked for states like Illinois. Also, an audit tells us just how expensive a health care program for undocumented adults has been. We'll talk about that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, professor emeritus and former director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie has also been a longtime reporter and observer. And our guest this week, Dan Petrella, a reporter with the Chicago Tribune. And Dan, it's always good to have you back with us.
Good to be here.
Charlie, I'll go to you first on this. When the governor making a push this week, making it very clear that there's still almost $2 billion in money that is supposed to come from the federal government to state agencies, that money being withheld by the Trump administration. That's even after a federal judge ordered the money be passed along. So what are your thoughts on what's happening here and what's the impact on state government?
Well, I think the impact on state government is, as was expressed at a hearing this week, is that we really don't know. We rely on the federal government for an awful lot of money for a lot of programs, particularly human service programs like Medicaid. And we rely on it for help with transportation funding. And there's a big question mark about whether any of this stuff is actually going to come to us. As a matter of fact, Pritzker and all of the 16 Democratic members of our congressional delegation sent a letter to the Office of Management and Budget demanding answers about why the federal funds that have been already approved have not been awarded to more than a dozen state agencies. And the governor said they haven't heard back yet. So they're trying to figure out what they can do to get the funds released. And what the governor pointed out is that these are funds that have been passed by Congress, signed into law, and promised to the state in a number of different grants. And state agencies, small businesses, nonprofit organizations, universities, everyday citizens are having trouble accessing this allocated federal funding. And of course, Pritzker says, and this is a quote, "We are in every circumstance looking at what is our redress. Can we go to court? And if not, is there some other way that we can get that funding source turned back on? We'll do everything that we can." Well, and there's a question that maybe this is part of the Trump administration reacting to the fact that Pritzker has been among the most severe critics of the new administration. And so Pritzker was asked about that, and he said, his quote again, "So the president of the United States is taking retribution on people for their views, for expressing themselves? He's taking it out on the people of Illinois? I mean, is that acceptable to anyone? Is that the kind of government that we ought to have in the United States?" So as things stand now, there's an awful lot of uncertainty. And as we talked about when we were discussing the budget a week or so ago, there's just no way to know what's going to happen. And this is money that's already been approved. And the question for the lawmakers and the governor moving forward, what's going to be in the next federal budget? All the indications are that there's going to be severe cuts, particularly in Medicaid, that will have a dramatic impact on Illinois.
Yeah, Dan, this is a critical time for the state. They're trying to put a budget together for the next fiscal year. They're still worried about money that is supposed to come in for the current fiscal year and then what's going forward. Not just Illinois, we're seeing this across with other states as well. I mentioned also that some of the policies of the Trump administration are bringing a lot of concern right now, and that includes tariffs. Tariffs are a really big concern, and those were laid out this week during a House hearing about what that could mean. We're talking about agriculture. We're talking about also what we import in from places like Canada and Mexico, but also what we export. So, this is really a very tense time for the state of Illinois and really for state governments, it seems, across the country. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And it's like you said, it makes forecasting very, very difficult. There's not just the uncertainty of the revenue streams coming in from the federal government, but there's also the uncertainty about what the Trump administration's economic policies, the tariffs, like you mentioned, some with some of our largest trading partners will have on state revenue sources like sales tax and things of that nature, and just the general economic activity and viability of the state. Moody's recently came out with their annual economic forecast that they do for the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability. They mentioned that these across the board tariffs that Trump has proposed, some of them with some of Illinois's largest trading partners with Canada and Mexico, gives us an above average exposure to foreign trade and puts us more at risk due to some of these policies. And so there's just a huge degree of uncertainty, and which is partially interesting to see the governor putting his budget together, relying on some more optimistic revenue projections given that uncertainty. I think also there's the issue of federal Medicaid funding, which has been proposed to be cut in the budget resolution that the United States House passed earlier this week. The governor is out today and on Friday in Chicago talking about the damage that that would do to the state. I think it's something around 770,000 Illinoisans who get their coverage through Medicaid expansion and the Affordable Care Act that would the state would not be able to pay for if the federal matching funds were gone. So there's just it's this flood the zone strategy that the Trump administration is using in many different areas has really just made the task for the state quite difficult.
Yeah, Charlie, I've heard on the Medicaid and Medicare, a lot of Affordable Care Act funding. I've heard that a lot of people are saying on the Republican side that that's going to stay intact. Most of this money is going to stay intact, and we're not really that concerned about it. But at the same time, they're talking about trying to come up with all of these savings. It almost seems as though it's going to be hard to do that without touching some of these programs. And when it comes to Illinois, there is something called a trigger law that is in place. Can you explain what that would mean for the state, or how that would impact the state if these cuts came down?
What the trigger law portion says that when the federal funding at roughly 90% of the cost, when it drops below that level, then the state ends the program. And I think the governor's estimate and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's like 700,000 or 900,000 people who would be affected by this. Low-income folks who don't qualify for normal Medicaid for whatever reason, and as part of this expansion, are now on the chopping block. And the resolution that passed the U.S. House apparently cuts that program. And part of the difficulty is the House Republicans are trying to figure out a way to cut spending to accommodate the cost of extending the tax breaks that were first enacted in Trump's first term and which are due to expire. And so the way critics have put it is that the Republicans, Speaker Johnson and his cohorts, are trying to figure out a way to basically stick it to the poor folks to give big tax breaks to the billionaires. Now, it's more complex than that, but that's sort of the rhetoric going around. And so the question is, that resolution is now before the Senate. How is the Senate going to react? And there's still a lot of uncertainty about it. But if it does go through as the congressional Republicans want it to go, the House anyway, yeah, we would see big cuts in that program. And there'd be a lot of people thrown off who are now on this Medicaid expansion, and the governor has said there's no way that we can pick up the cost of that. It's in the I believe he said it was in the billions of dollars, and there's no way that we can absorb that.
About $7.5 billion is what they're estimating it would cost.
Is that, yeah.
Well, Dan, I know you're not at the Capitol every day, the state Capitol. We're talking about trying to get a budget done before the fiscal year, probably by the end of May. That's when they want to get this done. Does it seem like that's going to be reasonable, or are we going to be looking, you think, at something that could be maybe a makeshift budget that you have to come back on and do some work on? It just seems to me it's asking a lot for lawmakers to try to craft something that will hold for all of next fiscal year when you're not even sure what the next week or two is going to bring to you.
Yeah, that is definitely a very tall task. I think the way that the Pritzker administration is approaching it, or at least as of last week when they were putting forth their budget proposal, was just budgeting based on what the federal government's obligations are, and not trying to predict the unpredictable moves of the Trump administration, and just relying on the things that, you know, by statute, by federal appropriation, are due to come to the state of Illinois, and then if there are issues that arise, to through the Attorney General's office or other means, you know, try to litigate those issues and make sure that Illinois gets the money that it's guaranteed. I think, you know, it's worth noting that we talk about federal tax dollars coming to the state, but a portion of those dollars are federal taxes that Illinois residents have paid. And I believe I should fact-checked myself probably before they say this, but I believe, you know, Illinois is a net payer of federal taxes in terms of the amount of money that comes from our residents and businesses versus what flows out to other states.
Now, Charlie, would you agree that right now that may be the best approach, is try to go with what you think are the things that have to get done by the federal government, and then hope for the best going forward and just deal with it as we have to deal with it?
Yeah, and I think that's basically what the governor's budget director, Alexis Sturm, said in testimony before one of the House committees, that they're kind of playing it by ear because they really don't know what's going to happen. And they're trying to be cautious in putting the budget together. And they're hoping that April will be a good month when the income tax, state income tax returns are due, you know, the payments, that they will get a boost, because through January, the first 7 months of the fiscal year, personal income tax payments have increased from where they were during the same period in the prior fiscal year. So they're looking at maybe getting a boost there. But it's all very uncertain. And until we find out what happens in Washington, we're just going to really be difficult. Because as I said earlier, the budget resolution that came out of the U.S. House of Representatives wants to cut $2 trillion in spending, and they've targeted Medicaid. And so the question is, will the U.S. Senate go along with this? There's been some resistance among Senate Republicans that they're not going to buy the House plan as structured. And you really don't know, because even before the Affordable Care Act expansion, Illinois, for every dollar that Illinois spent to help a Medicaid recipient, we got 50 cents back from the feds. That is a huge number, and we just don't know what's going to happen. It makes it very difficult to do any budgeting, because like the governor said, there's no chance that we could pay $7.5 billion to keep everybody covered if the federal funding is cut.
You're listening to State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield, along with Charlie Wheeler and the Chicago Tribune's Dan Petrella. And Dan, you had a story this week on what has been a controversial effort by the governor to provide health care to undocumented adults. Tell us who is actually covered under this, and what did the audit findings show us?
Sure. So this program covers both folks who are in the country without legal permission, and folks who are here legally are on their path to earning a green card and legal permanent residence, but have not achieved the 5-year residency required to qualify for federal Medicaid. And it's a program that started with just the 65 and older group, and then was expanded twice to go down to people 42 and older. The findings of the audit, which was done by Auditor General Frank Montino's office, were essentially that the Pritzker administration vastly underestimated the number of people who would sign up for the program and what the cost of the program would be. In the 3 years that the audit looked at, the enrollments were about double what they expected, and the costs were double for the 65 and older group and almost four times higher in the two younger groups, the expansions. Since the program started in the in December of 2020, in all its cost to state about $1.6 billion. And this was a program when it was launched just for folks who are 65 that advocates had estimated would cost $4 million a year. So obviously, the state seems to have launched into this headlong without a real sense of what it was going to cost. There's also been all sorts of issues with the enrollments in the program. Folks signed up who were categorized as undocumented in the records, but actually had social security numbers. And now some of those folks may actually fit into both those categories, but there's at least some sample of folks who should not have been in the program because they qualified for Medicaid or other programs, and all sorts of other issues with the signups. And it has become, it's been a political hot potato. It's, obviously something that Republicans in the legislature are not fans of. They see it as devoting resources that could go to, legal Illinois residents being diverted to folks who are here without permission. And it's even, been a wedge issue among the Democratic caucus because it's something that Latino legislators and other progressives have really supported. There's talk even a couple of years ago before the cost explosion really became clear of expanding it down to folks 19 and older. And in his budget speech last week, Governor Pritzker proposed zeroing out funding for the folks under 65, which would potentially remove insurance from tens of thousands of folks. I haven't seen the most recent enrollment numbers from January, but as of December, there are about more than 30,000 people in that program for the younger folks. And so, there's a certain degree of irony, and critics might even say hypocrisy here, of Pritzker criticizing the federal government for changes to Medicaid, while at the same time he's proposing eliminating funding for a program that provides health insurance for folks.
And are Republicans, do they have a point when they like to say waste, fraud, and abuse? Some of that apparently may have shown up in this program as well.
The Auditor General didn't make specific allegations about any kind of fraud or abuse. They did say that, some of the issues could lead to fraudulent payments or incorrect payments going out through the program. For example, there were a number of people who were signed up twice in the program and things of like that. And their issue was more the lack of controls within the Department of Healthcare and Family Services to make sure that the roles of this program were clean and proper. And, there were folks registered under the wrong age category, just lots of different issues with how the program took off. And part of the problem is it was expanded, I think, very quickly. It, debuted in like I said, December of 2020 with folks 65 and older. And even though there was a sense that it was costing more than they thought, they went ahead and expanded it twice more. And by, I believe it was July of 2022, it was expanded to the folks 42 and older. And I think what they found is that a lot of people were a lot sicker than they realized. And there were a lot more people qualified and interested for the program than they anticipated.
Yeah, Charlie, Dan mentioned maybe they weren't, quite aware of what they were getting into when this started. But, does that fall on J.B. Pritzker and his administration?
Yeah, it does, because ultimately the governor is the person who what's the old saying, the buck stops here, because he is the governor. And part of it is that this program unveiled when we were still in the middle of the COVID crisis. And so there were a lot of difficulties in actually vetting the people who were being signed up for this. And there were mistakes that were made, as the audit pointed out. Some people who were eligible for regular Medicaid, some people who had their birthdays wrong, some people who, it was just a whole mess up. And what the governor said is that they're going to try and remedy this stuff. He said at a news conference in Chicago earlier this week, there are an awful lot of people out there who need coverage, who aren't getting it, or will do anything to get it. I think that's a sad state of affairs. And so he said that the issue is, how do we get coverage for these people? And as I said earlier, we can't afford to do it all on our own. Now, the Republicans responded very quickly and said that Pritzker should just end the program right now instead of waiting until the end of the fiscal year. The Republican leader, Toni McCombie, from Savannah, and here's her quote, "Beyond the overwhelming cost, reports of fraud and abuse make it even clearer that this program must end. There is no need to wait until the next fiscal year. Immediately shut it down and protect Illinois taxpayers. So this is going to be a political issue for Republicans, and it's going to join some of the other issues that have occurred in other state departments and agencies, problems that were there when Pritzker arrived and they're still there, and that he, if he chooses to run for re-election, he's going to have to answer for.
You know, and I think it sort of is out of character for the governor to go headlong into something like this without a better idea of what it's going to cost. You know, he likes to bill himself as this pragmatic progressive. And I think in a lot of ways he's shown that in the way he's governed over the last several years. But this is an area where they really went into it without, you know, full understanding of what it was going to cost. And, you know, it's created tension between what he likes to view as his pragmatism and his progressivism, because, you know, it's if you really do believe that healthcare is a right, a human right, like he said, and that everybody deserves coverage, you know, it creates tension when you then turn around and hit a time where you need to cut to balance the budget. And this is one of the first places you go. And I think it's going to be a fight also among Democrats, you know, as we were talking about earlier, as they try to put the budget together to decide what to do with this, because there are a segment of folks who don't want to go along with his idea to zero out that funding.
Let me save some time here. There was some news came out this week regarding the former governor, Jim Edgar. He issued a statement announcing that he has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and is undergoing treatment for that now, apparently saying the cancer had spread, and seemed pretty philosophical about it all in his statement, but he is trying to fight that. I just did want to leave a little bit of time here for, Charlie, you've covered him. You've known him a long time since, I guess, before he became a Secretary of State, even in Illinois. Just your thoughts on Jim Edgar since his name was back in the news this week.
Yeah, I first met Edgar when he ran and was elected to the Illinois House back in the early 70s. So yeah, I've been following him ever since, and of course I reported on him at the Sun Times until I left the Sun Times to come to the university in the fall of 93. He, in my judgment, he was the last in the line of basically good governors until we now have J.B. Pritzker, who I think is a good governor. George Ryan had his problems. Rod Blagojevich was a total disaster. Pat Quinn was a guy who was in well over his head. And then we got Bruce Rauner, who was also a disaster for different reasons, because he was dead set on breaking labor unions and he was willing to tank the state to do it. But Edgar was a very interesting guy. He was a fiscal conservative, and a lot of the interest groups and lawmakers complained because they had projects, they had programs they wanted to expand, and Edgar said, no, we're going to hold the line. But he was also a socially moderate, and so he was well out of its step with what the Republican Party has morphed into today. And he's said on occasion, and he's agreed, that were he to be running for governor today, he would not be able to clear a Republican primary. But he is a very decent individual, a honest, a guy who would always respond to reporters' questions, who was accessible. He was all the things you want in a public official. And he, as you mentioned, with the Edgar Fellows Program at the University of Illinois, he's still doing good work. And that's a program that brings in various officials and staff people from both parties, from all levels of government, and puts them basically through a bunch of seminars where they get to talk to one another and realize that the people on the other side of the aisle aren't the devil incarnate. And there's been one of the graduates, as a matter of fact, is Chris Welch, who's the House Speaker. So yeah, Edgar was an outstanding governor, and as a human being, he's just really a great guy.
Yeah, he was the first governor I covered when I was first at the State House. And so certainly looking back on it, I don't think you realized at the time how good things were at that moment compared to what was going to be coming over for the state of Illinois over the next couple of decades or so. Dan, also give you about 30 seconds here just to weigh in real quick.
Sure. Governor Edgar is the first, I'll date myself here, but the first governor in my conscious memory. And you know, grew up with good impressions of him. And, you know, he kind of typified what Illinois Republicans were at the time, which, like you said, was fiscal conservatism and social moderation. And my few encounters with him over the years have always been very good. I met him for the first time at Judy Bar Topinka's election night gathering in 2006, when she lost to Rob Blagojevich when he was elected to a second term. But I also encountered him as a graduate student at the University of Illinois. He came and spoke to one of my journalism classes and was very generous with his time. And, you know, during the Rauner years, when he was a Republican who was willing to speak out about what he thought was the wrong direction that the state and his party were going.
Well, we all wish him well in his battle with cancer, former Governor Jim Edgar. Time now for our notes from the field. Dan, I'll stay with you and let you go first.
This is following up on a story I wrote for the Tribune a couple weeks ago about the move by the Trump administration to slash funding for foreign assistance, particularly the U.S. Agency for International Development. One of the casualties of that appears to be the Soybean Innovation Lab at U of I, which works on growing markets in sub-Saharan Africa and other places around the world. And it was frozen along with all the other funding at the start of the Trump administration, and got word just this week that despite an ongoing court battle to try to reverse that, it is among the large number of USAID contracts that has been canceled by the Trump administration. So that's, you know, many people out of jobs there in Champaign-Urbana, and work that has helped all over the world that's going to be no longer happening.
All right. And Charlie.
Well, Governor Pritzker announced this week that Illinois has erased another $220 million in medical debt for thousands of residents. And that's through this program where the state buys up medical bills that have been turned over to collection agencies and other sources. And we can buy them for pennies on the dollar. The governor first proposed this in 2024 in his budget. And the current budget includes $10 million for the program. And he's asking for $15 million next year. And for every $1 that's spent on medical debt buyback, it erases about $170 in medical debt. And so that brings the total of the program more than $345 million in debt erased for almost 300,000 Illinoisans. And the average amount of debt per person is around $1,300, according to the governor's office. The state, the Department of Healthcare and Family Services, works with a nonprofit which negotiates down patient debt with hospitals, health systems, and so on, and buys it at a steep discount. And the folks who have had their debt canceled will get a notification in the mail that it's been erased, so they don't have to do anything. The state figures out who's eligible, then erases the debt and sends them a letter saying, you're clear. And this, I should include that this program originated in Illinois, in Cook County. And in Cook County, so far, more than $382 million in medical debt has been canceled for Cook County residents.
And that's all the time we have for this episode of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and the Chicago Tribune's Dan Petrella. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.